The scripture tonight comes from the second chapter of Matthew, verses 1 through 12. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will govern my people Israel." Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." When they heard the king, they went their way, and lo, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. The word of the Lord.
I know that there are a lot of great things in this text. Well, I don't know great, but I mean, the wise men come and they kneel before Jesus and they see Mary. They bring out the frankincense and the myrrh and the gold, and who doesn't like that? But of course, there are some pretty dark things going on in this text as well. So which part do you think I'm going to focus on? Now I realize that this is Epiphany. This is a time of the celebration of the birth of the Messiah, God entering history and revealing God's self to these wise guys, to humanity. God revealing God's self to us, walking with us. Well, you know, once the Christ child learns to walk, then walking with us. See, that's what I should be talking about. That's what I should focus on, the babies, the new life, the hope, the light, the revelation. But just give me a minute. Let me talk about this first. You see this? Well, maybe you can't see this. But you know it, this peace star flag right here? You know, no doubt you've seen the much coveted, now collectible peace star hats. You've seen the peace star stickers. I even have this DIY stick and poke tattoo of the peace star right there on my arm. I did that so all of you would see it when I'm serving communion. That's how far I'm willing to go for you. This peace star has kind of become the de facto logo of House of Mercy. Now, you might already know this, but maybe you don't. I just want to talk a little bit about, like, where did this peace star thing come from, and what's it all about, and what is it supposed to mean? You see, way, way back a long time ago, like 15 years ago, it was a different time in America, a different time. We had a lying, clueless friend of the rich and powerful as president. Nancy Pelosi was Speaker of the House. We were at war. It was a different time. We were at war in Iraq, and we were convinced at House of Mercy that the war was waged under false pretenses, and it was killing thousands and thousands of innocent civilians. And it was just a time of great divide in our country. And a lot of this division was being created around fear of radical Islam, and that fear was being used to justify a kind of righteous violence. A kind of righteous violence, a just war. Maybe you remember what it was like then. So we at House of Mercy thought that we should examine this whole phenomenon that was gripping the country, this whole thing that's been going on forever, this notion of this righteous violence. We decided to preach for a whole year on just texts about war and violence. We called it the Year of Confessional Resistance. The term confessional resistance was meant to suggest that when we were trying to publicly join with so many other people saying, you know, stop the war, hey, American government, President Bush, Speaker Pelosi, stop this war in Iraq. When we decided to really examine this, we need to start by examining our own complicity in this culture of violence that makes the war and the violence and in all kinds of forms possible. That we must start by confessing our part in it. And that act of confession would also be part of our resistance, the first step in our resistance, confessional resistance. The peace star is the symbol we came up with to represent confessional resistance, because it kind of looks a little fascist military with the star and the red flag, and then it has this peace sign in it. So it's kind of intention, you know, which maybe I mentioned earlier, I like. Or at least in you. So it's this peace star, that's what it means. So it means I confess that I am a part of this culture of violence and that my complicity makes its continuation possible, but I also confess that I do not believe in it. I believe it all to be a lie, and I try to live by another narrative based on radical mercy and gratitude and love. When we confess that second part in our confessional resistance, we are confessing that our allegiance is not to any government or set of political principles. Our allegiance is to Jesus Christ. I know that sounds so Christian. Yeah, and maybe it is. But it is for us or me the most significant thing that we can confess. Even though we confess that we could not confess it if it was not confessed first for us, by Jesus Christ. And I hope you know when I confess that my allegiance is not to any government or political principles, but to Jesus Christ, I hope you realize that I also confess that I live most of my life like I owe my allegiance to almost everything but Jesus Christ. I hope I'm not making anybody uncomfortable by continually saying Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes if you say something over and over again, it can kind of like normalize it. Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. It also make it sound like I'm swearing. Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. It does not normalize it for me repeating it, no matter how many times I say it. I guess it's not a normal thing. And this is what's kind of important about it for me. When I say Jesus Christ, I am talking about Christianity, this way, this thing of ours, the gospel, this story that begins with the birth of a baby and grows from there and through there, and this story as opposed to the other story. There are two different stories. And I know the city is filled with 1,000 stories and there's 10,000 names of God, but for my purposes, I'm going to say that there are two stories. There is a story of power, and there is the story of powerlessness. There is the story of triumph, and there is the story of willing defeat. The story of winning, and the story of lying down one's life for a friend. The story of the world, the story of the word. The story of the world goes like this. You know it. Me, and people like me, are under threat by bad people who are different. And their difference is primarily that they are bad. Because we're good. But we know that we're strong. We'd never let those evil robots win. So we fight the bad people, and we triumph. And in the end, we always win because we are strong, and we are right. Then there's the story of the word, this other narrative that we like to talk about. The story of the word starts out like the story of the world. Me and my people, like me, they're under threat from an enemy that is bad and different, threatens us. But we know that we're strong. And we know, but when we go to fight the bad enemy, the bad enemy in this story doesn't fight back. The bad enemy in this story says they love us. They're on our side, whatever side we're on. Doesn't fight back. Lets us kill him. And we kill him good, bloody, violent, horrendous kill him. And when the fog of war lifts and we're left with the carnage of our own righteous power, we are left looking at the blood-flecked faces of our fellows and feel the sticky blood in the corners of our mouths with our tongue, we look at that bloody, beaten body. And then we find out who we are. That dead body teaches us who we are, what we are like. And then that body loves us and asks us to join with them on this other way. I'm not just talking about war. I'm not just talking about politics. I'm just not talking about global capital. I'm talking about the way we have relationships, the way we're going to talk to our parents and our brothers when we sit down to them to dinner. There are two different stories. That's all I wanted to say. I wanted to mention what the Peace Star represents. So there's a lot of great things in this text for today. It's Epiphany. Epiphany is the celebration of the revelation of God to humanity, to the wise men. They bring the gift basket of myrrh and gold and frankincense. But you know what, of all this story, the part of it that always catches me, the line in this story that always stops me is this. When King Herod heard this, he was afraid, and all Jerusalem was frightened with him. These wise men, they see this star, they go to Jerusalem, and they ask King Herod, where is this child who was born to become king? And when Herod hears this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem was frightened with him. Power plus fear is dangerous. King Herod is afraid, and all of Jerusalem is not afraid that Jesus is going to come and become king. All of Jerusalem is afraid because Herod is afraid. And they know when the king is afraid, there's no telling what that king will do, what that person in power will do. Because this other way, this other story, the story of power, is always based on fear. It's always based on fear. This story we rehearse every year, the story that we find in our holy books, is the story of a relationship that is not based on fear. It's based on love. It doesn't look like the story of the world. It doesn't look like the story we even live out our lives every day. It's a story based on love and a kind of beyond our understanding of love, mercy, forgiveness. It's always there. It is always the antidote to fear. The wise men, they come and they find Jesus and Mary. And they kneel down and they pay him homage. And they get up and they're warned in a dream not to return to Herod, to go back another way. We do not need to live the story based on fear. You don't need to be afraid. We don't need to go back to Herod. We can go home a different way.